Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, April 6th. Red City Radio, Sincere Engineer, and, the band I'm here to talk to, the Lawrence Arms, Chris and Brendan. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, hi.
It's at the Chameleon Club in Lancaster, so we did a little driving today. That's fine. These guys did, too. Or yesterday, whenever. You're an old merch guy, Beef. He's the Presidente of Margarita, right?
Well, he is a big fan of the Presidente Margarita from Chili's.
Oh, okay.
And he is also a consummate margarita enthusiast. And he has determined that the Chili's Presidente Margarita is the best margarita out there. This is not sponsored content, by the way. That's just purely the words of Beef.
Of course.
Just wanted to make sure you found the right margarita in Lancaster. I don't know.
Oh, we haven't done any margarita searching yet, but I'm sure we'll be able to figure something out.
All right. So this is what, the third show of the tour?
Yeah, that's right. We did Boston and then
Garwood, New Jersey last night, which was pretty killer. And
And here we are today, among the Amish, as it were.
If you hear any horses or buggies in the background, pardon that. But I always have this theory that like the third show is probably the sweet spot because you have the first two shows to maybe work out any kinks you have, and then you're not completely sick of being on the road and homesick. So should we expect a really good one tonight?
I think you should expect a very, very good show tonight. Yes, absolutely. I don't know. We've been lucky on this run. The first two shows were awesome. So if this one's better than those, it will be a very good show indeed.
Awesome. I'll even settle for as good if you're that happy with them.
Yeah, well, we're going for better.
Excellent. Appreciate it. All right. Still traveling light and borrowing the opening band's gear?
Yeah, that's kind of how I guess we roll.
We all live like all spread out across the country, and we don't have a vehicle anymore, just because. We don't
tour at a sort of max capacity at this point. So
yeah, that's my porn name.
Max capacity.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
Mine's Johnny Come Lately, by the way.
Yeah. Well,
but I think
max capacity is my gay porn name.
Oh, interesting. I think I feel like we're pretty fortunate to be able to have like good, like very, very cool bands that are willing to let us use their gear to be able to like set this up in this way, because the reality is that we do all kind of live spread out, and in order to really make this as efficient as possible, you know, and kind of work for everyone, we kind of set it up this way. And again, I don't think we could pull this off without a lot of other people being down with the program.
So well, you guys are in three different cities now. Does it feel like throughout a nationwide tour, you have three different places you can reliably set up camp, so it's not like looking for a hotel or sleeping in a parking lot or what?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, first of all, one of the great pleasures, I have two kids, so one of my great pleasures in being on tour is sleeping in hotels. I really enjoy it a lot. And I don't know. I mean, like, Neil yesterday described his apartment as the size of the minivan. So we don't sleep there. And we've not stayed at Chris's house either in Portland.
Although we could.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody's welcome to stay at my house when we're in Chicago. Now I have a big, stupid house. So.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, you know, we don't get hung up on shit like, pardon me. We don't get hung up on that kind of thing, really, because, you know, it's just this, it's part of the job. You know, Toby, our tour manager, he susses us out hotels and stuff before we even leave, so everything's like kind of locked in. And in fact, he lives in Philly, and so we drove from New Jersey to Philly last night, stayed in Philly. We're gonna drive back there again tonight, stay. So the closest thing to a home base that we have is probably Toby's house.
Not bad. Okay. Well, that answers another question I was going to ask later about Neil. He didn't end up moving in with that friend and the millionaire in the mansion.
Oh man, no, he didn't.
Okay.
No, he didn't. He still lives in L.A. That was in San Francisco, yeah. But Neil's still in L.A. Doing Neil.
All right, so Sacramento was added. What are West Bay drugs?
Uh, oh, I, I don't know. I was just trying to be funny and say something kind of outrageous. I really don't know what West Bay drugs are or what Sacramento. I mean, I assume Sacramento probably has different drugs than San Francisco, just based on the fact that San Francisco is incredibly expensive. Sacramento, maybe not so much. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea, but probably some common lanes there in terms of the weird drug scene.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, the whole reason you're here, the whole reason we're here, the collection that was put out, We Are the Champions of the World, in stores now, of all years. Why did Fat Mike reach out now?
It's a great question. I don't know, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, his thinking was that now the way people consume music, you know, they go on Spotify and they just check something out. This would be a great way to put everything in one place to sort of like, sort of directionalize people's search in such a way so they don't like go and like click on something that happens to stink because they like, you know, just kind of put all the good stuff in one place. And it worked out for us because, you know, we wanted to do some stuff and like stay active, and we were not in the process of writing any new material or anything like that. So I think the timing was good, but to answer your question, I have no idea why he broke it out now, but I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
This is great.
He's been doing that over the years with like the Swing and Utters and whatever, so fair enough. That's okay.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Now, you wanted the track selection to represent the life of the band, get a good overview of all of your periods and what have you. I'm curious about the track order, though. Was there a method to the madness instead of going chronologically?
Well, I think going chronologically, for one thing, is just kind of lazy. And, you know, if you're presenting a collection of something, it's like, you know, you play a show, you write a set list, put out an album, you sequence it, right? And so I think we just attempted to do justice to the songs in like a whole new sort of framing, right?
Yeah, the experience of listening to a chronological sort of sequence is just kind of like going back to the like, it's like going from record to record as opposed to like, you know, really seeing like an assortment of like all the songs over time. And so I think super different experience and much more, I don't know, just like much more interesting of a listen, you know, even though the sort of like, it's cool to kind of see, to like hear the production shifts, you know, from song to song, as opposed to kind of just seeing the evolution of it, you know, you kind of like go back and forth. And I think that's much more kind of dynamic, like, listen.
Mm-hmm. And assuming people listen from start to finish with this, then, you know, the selection is a little more friendly to that because, you know, you start out with a bang and grab it. And even you guys have said you're not that stoked on your first album or so. So I could see going that route.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just like, again, it's like a matter of just really trying to create a nice product. You know what I mean? Like, and I mean, like, I don't mean to, like, commodify this like in some sort of like business sense, but it's like, you know, if we're gonna put out a record, put some thought into it, you know what I
yeah,
mean
absolutely.
I mean that's important. It's important to us.
All right, on the blurb for Alert the Audience, Brendan, you said you almost never start off writing a song with a riff. What for both of you guys, what usually does start a song?
For me, it's almost always words. I write words and then I try to set them to music and try to get my inspiration that way. I don't really play the guitar in a way that's like particularly inspiring to me. I know about 5 chords that go together. And so if I started out with music, it's just kind of like, okay, da, 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 da. Okay, I better write some words, you know? So I always like glean my inspiration from whatever words I make. That's my method.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like have gone back and forth probably over time a little bit between like having like a kind of like a guitar hook and some words and just then trying to like, you know, start gluing them together and like kind of cut and pasting things. I tend to be like a little more collage-y like in terms of how I put things together. But more often than not, there's some like, you know, there's like a sequence of words or you know, a part that's got a real, like, specific melody to it that maybe there's a line or several lines, you know, that are kind of just that, like, starting point for me. But that said, like, I've never really had, like, a fully clear, like, I've done it, like, several different ways. Like, sometimes it's just, like, a bunch of words and then got to find music, and then other times there's actually, like a guitar hook or something that is the initial, like, spark. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm a little, like, cut and pasty.
However it gets done, right?
That's right.
All right, so on Apathy and Exhaustion, going back a little bit, you were credited as Clarence Darrow and Lehigh Acres. Now, we're from Allentown, which is part of the Lehigh Valley. Yeah, what's up with that?
Well,
what is up with that?
Yeah, what is up with that? Gosh, that I believe... Lehigh Acres was just something we saw on a map, and we were, like, cracking up about it. We're like, that is the funny... Like, that's a funny name for a guy. You know, and so that, and wasn't Clarence Darrow off Greatest Story Ever Told, though?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Because Lehigh Acres definitely was.
Was Apathy.
But anyway, I mean, you know, I think that the notions that we were dealing with back then were that, like, you know, like, album credits can be, like, very self-important and ridiculous. And it's like, and it's sort of unnecessary, you know. There's like plenty of media out there to let you know, like, who's in a band. And if you, like, care about a band at all, you'll figure it out. And so it was just sort of like, you know, it's like a tiny little bit of subversion of the notion that it's like, oh, we did this. It's like, obviously we did it. We're the people on the record, you know. Isn't that enough credit right there? So.
With Cocktails and Dreams, weren't you
Cocktail and Dreams?
Being the former bartender, though, shouldn't Chris you have been Cocktail?
Well, I mean, he's a former bartender as well.
Oh, okay.
So. Also true. Yes.
I tend to be a purveyor of dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Chris is
really, really, really. When we do finally open the bar, Cocktails and Dreams, you know, kind of both have an equal. Important role in facilitating,
yes.
You know.
It's very true. Very true.
Facilitating good times.
Yes. Both cocktails and dreams, would you say?
I would.
All the drinks will be B-sides. That's good to know. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Discount. All right, cool. There are a few tracks from A Guided Tour in Chicago in this collection. Was there any discussion about actually mixing them for this?
No, there was not any discussion about that. I mean, the thing is that I think I can only really speak for myself here, but I feel very confident that what I'm about to say is a shared opinion among all of us. They're like, this is fine to do this, but I really didn't want to do very much work in order for it to happen. And that would have been too much work. So, like, the songs already exist. They are what they are. And the guy that recorded those is deceased. And so I don't think that we could even find the original tapes to remix them if we wanted to, and plus it's like it's recorded on ADAT. I mean, this becomes very boring.
Yeah, there's a lot of complications to getting that remixed. So,
yeah,
so.
But
also it's like, I don't know. Like part of when you look back at it, like part of what is I think I don't know interesting about it, especially compared like up against the other tracks, is that it's super super raw, man, and that's kind of its. Rustic charm, you know?
Very Amish country of you.
Rustic, nice. Now about the album art, of course, if you're smart and you buy the LP, it's all big and nice and wonderful. If you're like me and dumb, you get the CD, which is still nice, and you get the majority of it. But the front cover, you have a skeleton cowboy, pirate, and rabbi. Do each of you identify as one of them?
You know, people ask us that a lot, and I think... that just based on the fact that back in the day, on the cover of Greatest Story Ever Told, we decided that I was the guy with the eye patch because I'm most likely to lose an eye of the three of us, that I'm probably the pirate because he's still got the eye patch. And those are obviously the skeletons of those three guys. I mean, it's like the one guy with the big mustache, he's the cowboy. The guy with the eye patch.
So you're saying that I'm the rabbi?
Yes.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Wow, that is an Inception level joke, man.
I'm so sorry.
This is gold, by the way.
It's all we offer.
All right, so this has been bolstered by some demos and previously unreleased tracks from Oh Calcutta. Are there any other tracks that are floating around that... I know there are three bonus tracks on Metropole. Do you have any other songs that maybe could be the basis for another B-sides collection?
I don't think we do.
I think that's about it, man.
We...
As far as, like, tracked stuff.
Yeah, we kind of went back and looked for everything that we could find. And, I mean, I think that in every time we've gone into the studio, there have been a few things that have gotten abandoned. Mm-hmm. But they've been thoroughly abandoned. Like, the fact that we found this stuff, I think the only reason is because we recorded that record to 2-inch tape, and it was such a massive undertaking, and I think Matt Allison kind of archived it as, like, this almost, like, time capsule situation for his own personal archive or records or whatever, and so that stuff survived purely because of that. Anything else is, like, long gone and forgotten. I would be beyond shocked if anything else ever surfaced.
That's one advantage of having a long-running relationship with a producer, and there you go.
Yeah, for sure. He's a good dude. I love Matt Allison. We love Matt Allison. And we're lucky to be able to work with him, for sure.
And he, you.
Oh, even more he, us.
I mean, look at us.
Yeah.
I guess you can't really look at us, but yeah, if you could,
yeah,
trust me.
Yeah, we're a barrel of monkeys.
All right. So who in the band is a Carcass fan? That's one thing that I've been wondering for a long time.
My wife is probably a Carcass fan.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
Yeah. I was never a Carcass fan, but I used to go to this camp every summer. And the dude that I would always room with was a huge Carcass fan, and I always just found their song titles to be so fascinating and hilarious. And that particular, you're referencing the Decanting the Insalubrious, sure. Right? Yeah. I just found that phrase to be so hilarious that it, like, ingrained itself in my head. And when we did the Rock Against Bush comp and, like, cranked out that song, it needed a name, and I was like, I don't fucking... You know, like, I don't know what to call this thing. And just like, you know what? Fuck it. We're calling it Necrotism Decanting the Insalubrious Cyborg Midnight Part 7. And that was also a little bit of a... That was during a very, like, self-important time in, like, the sort of, like, emo new metal kind of part of the punk scene. And I think we wanted to, like, kind of mock that a little bit as well.
All the bands ripping off Shai Hulud with the long song titles. And
yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's just like, come on. It's just silly. So, yeah, that was just more being silly than anything.
But that's a trend here. I'll take it. Okay, let's see. I'm curious now. You guys are, of course, still doing a lot of music outside of the Lawrence Arms, but with your relationship to Red Scare, do you keep your ears to the ground in terms of new music?
I try to, but, you know, it's like I'm just a little separated from that kind of thing now. It's like, you know, I'm an older dude. I don't go, like, I definitely don't go out to, like, clubs and check out random bands or anything like that anymore. I mean, I've got kids and try to make my free time count a little bit more than that. Not that there's not something great about discovering a new band, but it's just not exactly fucking this guy. It's not exactly something that I'm able to prioritize. But I do try to listen to stuff when, you know, somebody, like, recommends something to me, like, on the internet or something like that. I'll try to give it a listen, for sure. And, you know, it is really exciting to find cool new bands and stuff like that. And I'd probably like to think I do it more than I actually do.
Okay. All right. Now, going back to Metropole, I have to ask about the music video for 17er. Could you ever imagine an alternate reality where you guys just went out to Hollywood to try to make it at the start? How would that have worked out?
It's really very much against the whole philosophy of our band to do something like that.
For sure. I mean, like, certainly sitting here now, it's like, you know.
Yeah, but like, I mean, we even talked about it overtly, like, and when we started, it's like the, if you can make it out of wherever you're from, then there's a story that goes with your band and an identity that goes with your band. If you're just like swimming upstream against all these other fucking people from Omaha and Kansas that moved to New York or LA to like become stars, even if you make it, it's like you're part of that like grist mill, you know? I mean, like, it's like, but that's why I like things like, you know, like the Smashing Pumpkins are from Chicago, and everybody knows that, right? Yeah. And like the Nirvana is from Seattle, and everybody knows that. But like the Red Hot Chili Peppers are from L.A. Mm-hmm. But no, if they didn't sing about fucking California in every single song, people would be like, I don't know where they're from. It doesn't matter, you know?
I think, yeah, totally. It's super true. Also, it's like, we actively decided to just kind of like start touring and doing this as a kind of as the leap, you know, like when I think about back to like that time of like starting this band, really, it was just like the way to do this was like, yeah, just be us from Chicago and like get out and tour. And like, that was, you know, that was like the specific goal, was just to be out every day playing shows wherever and out doing it. And I think there's like a bit of a different mindset to like that kind of launch versus the like move to LA, like rub shoulders sort of get in the pipeline thing. Like really, really different experience of like quote unquote being in a band.
Right. And it should also be mentioned that I don't think that any of us would have had any fucking idea how to do that.
No.
You know, like it's like as much as I think that there was like a definite intellectual decision based somewhat, I guess you could say, on integrity. There was also the other truth, which is just like, we didn't have the, like, I couldn't even imagine being like us at 20 and just like going out to LA and being like, okay, let's work some jobs and hope we meet a guy from Capitol Records. Yeah. You know, it's like, it just like,
It goes against like the way I think we have thought about just being alive, and also like being from Chicago is really important to like who we are as people and to our band. Like, I don't live in Chicago now, but I still consider myself to be from Chicago. When people ask me like where I'm from, I definitely don't say that I'm, you know, from Oregon. I say I'm from Chicago, and that will always be what that is, because it's so like critical to who I am. And I just think that like that probably factors in some like identity level to like who we were then as a band also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. Well, also related to that video, any death threats from Juggalos?
No, man, the Juggalos are down with us. There is a small crossover, and I think that it's hilarious for one thing, but like, you know, we've been singing and talking about Juggalos since way before they were like the subject of Saturday Night Live skits and stuff like that, you know. And I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak for an entire community that of which I know nothing about. But you know, I think that Juggalos back then were just like, yo, we're just doing our thing. This guy knows what we're doing. That's cool, you know? And so, no, we don't get any death threats from Juggalos. If anything, Juggalos like to see us repping the clown. And that's about it, man. Whoop, whoop.
I'll makeup on.
Halloween show, okay.
Not a bad idea.
All right. Now, Brendan, I know you've done some hosting, interviewing, acting, writing, as it's posted on YouTube for all to see. There's an acting reel, some sketches, a short film. Did you do any improv or sketch writing classes at the theaters in Chicago?
I did take a few classes at Second City, a writing class, and then I took an improv class, but it really wasn't for me. Shit's embarrassing, man. I did a little bit of studying up on that stuff. It was like right before my kid was born, and I was just trying to pack in a little like last minute burst of new knowledge before I knew that my life would be kind of like, all right, it's not about making you smarter anymore. It's about making this person smarter now. So that was just something I did like sort of as a last meal for my brain or whatever.
Okay. With the interviewing of bands for JBTV in Chicago, were there any bands that surprised you? One for good or bad, one way or the other?
Gorsh. I had a really good time interviewing Max Bemis. And I didn't really, you know, I just know him as this, like, very, publicly...
He's been open about his struggles with stuff.
He's got, like, struggles with, like, mental health issues and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, gosh, I don't want to, like, rub this guy the wrong way or push any buttons. And I'm not, like, super, super familiar with his catalog either, so... I was kind of going into a Lion's Den there, and he was just great. He was really fun, and it ended up being a really fun interview. And that's a standout moment for me for sure.
Good to hear. Okay, we'll have to put him on the list.
Dave Mustaine also. Oh. Well, he didn't surprise me, but it was pretty wild.
Nice. All right. Now you also got into transcendental meditation through Ehow. Is that something that's spread throughout the band, or you can keep up with it?
I don't, like, have a regimented schedule for doing TM as much as I would like to, but it's definitely something that's, like, incredibly helpful, and it's, like, balanced my spirit quite a bit, and I find myself using it, like, almost, like, very lazily. It's like almost like a booty call situation where it's like if I'm like really stressed out, I'll indulge in some TM. If I can't sleep, I will indulge in some TM. But I don't have like a regimen that I adhere to anymore, and probably for the worse. I mean, you know, it's invaluable in terms of just like clarity and focus and just like generally being a better person, I think. But yeah, I wish I did it more.
That's something that's definitely come up with bands over the years, and I didn't know if you had gone further down the rabbit hole and like gotten into Vikram hot yoga and just like, have space heaters in the van or something and just
No, nothing like that. I'm not trying to figure too much out, you know. Need to keep my hillbilly charm.
Keep it a mystery. I got it. All right. Now, Chris, with your Oregon living, have you noticed any? Have you been around Portlandia filming over the years?
I don't know that I've seen any real Portlandia filming, but I'm sure it's I guess it's over now, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Ended.
But I did see Carrie Brownstein and Annie Clark in a restaurant once, which is like pretty weird. They look like famous people. I guess they are famous people. They also look like famous people.
Yeah, you can tell.
But yeah, Portland's a cool town. Pretty interesting kind of place. Nice, all in all.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to get a handlebar mustache though, and it really.
Yeah, I know. I need to work on pickling things and waxing my mustache.
Maybe you're the cowboy.
maybe I am. Oregon's a really beautiful and cool place. Very different than Chicago, so kind of an adjustment when I first was out there. But it's a cool place, and there's some interesting stuff going on there.
Well, now Brendan, on FaceSpace, you were talking about watching, Return of the Jedi, this was a couple of years ago with your kids, and just spreading that. The love of those movies. How did The Last Jedi go for you?
I like The Last Jedi more in retrospect than I did in the theater. I think it's a cool movie. I don't want to get too dorky about this or anything like that, but like I felt like there was some bloat. I felt like the casino scene in particular was something that I was like, oh, this is supposed to be cool. But it didn't seem cool to me. It was not like, it's like when you intellectualize a band, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm supposed to like this. But it doesn't like hit you the way like a song you like hits you, you know, and when you're just like, oh, I have no choice. I love this. Yeah. Like that was just like, it was like, oh, look, yes, I'm supposed to enjoy this whole thing. And I don't know. I thought there was like a few choices in there that were like a little bit like lazy and sort of pandering, I guess. Yeah. But overall, I mean, you know, I love that mythology, and I think it was like a worthy addition to the whole canon and everything like that. And again, as I think back more about it, I like it much more in retrospect.
Yeah. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm not gonna lie.
No spoilers, then. That's fine. So,
but you're gonna love the casino scene.
Yeah, but I think Star Wars is cool.
Bold leap there. All right. All right. After this current tour, it looks like you'll be taking over Europe in August, right? Anything else to look forward to? I know you've got Wandering Birds and that you're looking forward to releasing, and maybe some Sundowner?
Yeah, maybe, but not anytime soon.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just finishing up this Wandering Birds record, and then probably we'll start writing a new Lawrence Arms record, I would imagine. I mean, that seems like the next thing on the docket to me, and I'm excited to
for sure
kick that machine back into gear. You know, it's
definitely, man, putting out this record and playing shows has been something I've been looking forward to both for a long time here, and like it's been, the last few days have been so fun, and I know that like, yeah, like my head's been like just kind of like buzzing a little on thinking about new songs and stuff. So that's kind of where I'm geared at.
That's good. That's good to hear. Okay. I end every interview.
I don't know. Yeah. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Well, if they're not, I'm sure you won't put them out then.
That's probably correct. Yes.
I end every interview with this one. Stuck in a desert island, no hope of rescue, one album. What is it?
Oh, it doesn't matter at all. I'm going to be sick of it in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Just
you'll learn to like it, then you'll hate it.
Yeah. I don't know. Probably something like nice and classical that I could fall asleep to. You know, seems. But again,
it's reasonable.
I get a week, and then that thing's going right in the fucking ocean.
Yeah, for sure. It's almost like just surprise me. You know, just like
here it is, Rex in effect.
Yeah, I'll take Rex in effect.
Hopefully, it won't come to that, but whatever. At least you got it. Well, thank you so much, and look forward to seeing you guys out there, and safe travels and all that fun stuff.
Awesome.
If you don't mind, could we get some?